Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're welcoming into the studios not only our friend Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. It's good to see you, Sean.
Always great to be here. Thanks, James.
And we say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, the gang over there that does such great work. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. You will not be disappointed. Support the work that they are doing over there. We always like supporting our officers, supporting different events and different causes that you guys are into. And, sir, one of the things that I appreciate is the transparency, the open conversation you and I have. We had a little pregame. You asked me a question that my parents have asked me many times in my life. You want the good news or the bad news first, and I'll answer it the same way I always have. I'm a big believer in let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get to that, and we can wrap up on some more positive stories.
No, I appreciate that, and getting the opportunity to talk a little bit about what's been going on, and a couple of events that have come up that were, one, quite scary for law enforcement. On the 20th of August, I won't forget it. I was woken up at about 1:30 in the morning by Captain Hugesteiger, basically saying that, you know, our deputies and many other law enforcement agencies in the area were being shot at. And I'm like, okay. And then as you kind of, you wake up and you're dusting the cobwebs off and whatnot and, coming into work. And it was an ongoing situation. And to back up, just so people know what occurred, the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department earlier in that evening were investigating domestic disturbance. And that out of that investigation, the suspect, who was identified as Clinton Moyette, they wanted him stopped and arrested for domestic charges of battery and some other stuff. So that information is shared with other law enforcement immediately once the information, they get it. And it goes around not just with our department, but everybody in central Wisconsin that, hey, this is somebody that we're looking for and we want them, taken into custody. So a short time after that information came in to local law enforcement, Portage County deputy had located the suspect who had taken off in a vehicle. So we all had all that information out and noticed the vehicle was heading west on State Highway 54, just outside of Plover, heading back towards Rapids. So based on the information that was shared, the deputy initiated a traffic stop, and the suspect, Mr. Moyette, who is a criminal, decided not to pull over. So a vehicle pursuit was initiated, and then during that pursuit, a short time after it was initiated, Moyette decided to start shooting at that deputy. Again, this is, and I'll repeat it a few times, this is all on video. At some point, the public will get the opportunity to see it, but it's still, very, very new in the criminal justice system here in Wood County. So the pursuit continues, even though the suspect had shot at the Portage County deputy and continued towards Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, all this information is being shared, amongst all of our departments that this is occurring. So the Grand Rapids Police Department, their officer had gotten a position on State Highway 54 to attempt to put spike strips out to disable Moyette's vehicle. During that process, Moyette shot at him, shot at the Grand Rapids officer. Thank God missed, and the pursuit continued into Wisconsin Rapids, going through the east side of Rapids, onto the west side of Rapids. More law enforcement officers are now involved, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, like I said, Grand Rapids was, and obviously Portage County, they were still the primary agency with the pursuit. Then Moyette shot at one of our deputies, six times we counted, and hit our squad twice, thank God, missing our deputy, and the pursuit continued. Rapids PD was able to deploy spike strips, and the suspect Moyette went over him, and did disable the vehicle several blocks later, just off of A Street by Key Savings Bank. And once the vehicle was disabled, you had many law enforcement officers now converging on the suspect, and he got out and started shooting again. Portage County returned fire, and the suspect, we did miss them, and he missed us again, and took off on foot. And that was about the time that you know, all of our administration and all of our departments were getting contacted, and that's when I had come in. And at that point, we had no idea where Moyet was. And so we had deployed some, you know, our armored vehicle. You know, that was the first armored vehicle on scene. Marshfield Police Department was sending theirs. And then the Stevens Point Police Department was sending theirs as well, because we really had no idea. We had a several block radius that we were working, but, you know, we weren't going to, you know, do it without armored vehicles, because, you know, we already proven that he wants to kill one of us, right. Bottom line. And then Captain Hugenskater remembered Scott Sager, who recently retired, has his own business. He's a part owner of a drone business, you know, that, you know, does several different things. But Scott was our, I wouldn't say the pioneer, but the first person that really took on to the program at the Sheriff's Department of having a drone over 10 years ago. And he had said, you know, when he retired, hey, if you ever need me, call me, you know. And Charlie called him, and he was there right away, you know, and deployed his drone, which is a newer drone, and got it up in there. And I'll tell you what, it's hard not to get emotional, but he saved that, you know, officers' lives, because we had no idea where Moyet went. And once the drone got up in there, all of a sudden they found a heat signal on top of a roof. And then they got closer, and it's Moyet on top of this roof. Then they were able to spotlight him, you know, show exactly where he is. So the SWAT teams that were both in the area, from, you know, one from our department and the other one from Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, were able to, okay, now we get him in an area that we can contain and go over and try to deal with the situation. Moya continued to shoot at us. Shot at the drone multiple times, shot at the special response teams, you know, numerous times from the roof. This is all on video. It's very graphic, and it's surreal when you think about what's happening, and now all of us are in and we're hearing it on the radio. It's you know, to relive it, it's hard, because you know what the intent is here. It is definitely to take an officer's life. And then when you watch the video, the drone footage especially, he's very tactful while he's on the roof, moving from, you know, side to side, shooting rounds at us, and then, you know, kind of dropping his head down. And as this went on, one of the Rapids officers on their SWAT team was able to return fire and strike Moyet and end a threat. And then it continues from there, you know, where the drone stayed, you know, watching him as there was no movement. The gun that he was using slid off the roof, so it didn't appear that there was any other firearms that he had. So now it's into the rescue mode, right? You know, they went and found the gun first. There's still one round in it. So, I mean, we only can, you know, assume what that was for. So fortunately, we were able to take care of the threat. And then the life-saving, you know, things that we do in these kind of situations took over. And the Rapids, Wisconsin Rapids SWAT team, you know, we're able to get to him, take him off the roof, get him to an ambulance, and then get him for treatment. And he has survived. And we had to guard him for well over a week up at Marshfield Medical. And now he was returned to our jail over the last weekend. So now we have to make plans, or we're currently making plans to house Moyet. We'd prefer not to have him in our jail because, you know, he's trying to kill our local law enforcement officers, so we're probably going to work with Wapakoneta County, who we contract with, to see if we can get him there. There's still some medical issues that he's going through because he was shot in the upper neck area, so he's going to continue to have treatment. So that'll be a challenge, but we'll work through that. But for me, and, you know, all the leaders that came out in law enforcement, you know, between Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, Portage County Sheriff's Department, just the you know, the teamwork of working together, but knowing the reality of the situation, that this individual was trying to kill a law enforcement officer. He shot us, I think, around 30 times, you know, at several of us, not just once. And thank God, you know, that none of our team members got hit. We're very fortunate in that regard. And, you know, now it's the letting the criminal justice system take over at this point. Mike got a large cash bond, which is well-deserved. Judge Brazo did that yesterday, something over $2 million. So, I mean, he's not going to be leaving custody for a long time, and he shouldn't. And, there, you know, there'll be charges as the investigation continues. DCI came out. They do a fantastic job in these kind of situations, because here you have multiple agencies involved in this. You know, you have four law enforcement agencies, you know, locally, and it's hard to have somebody exclusively investigate that when you have so many scenes. You have one on State Highway 54, not too far from McCain's, where that pursuit started and where the shots were initially fired, and then at the Grand Rapids officer. Then you had it at our officer, and then where the pursuit ended, you know, with Portage County and Wisconsin Rapids PD, and then another scene when he is on the roof, you know, waiting to ambush us, you know, and like I said, you know, a couple minutes ago about Scott Sager, bottom line, James, he saved lives. He saved cops' lives by getting the drone up and locating him. We had no clue he was on a roof. No clue. And then once you see the tactful movements, I mean, the intent is there. And, again, thank God he missed. But, you know, with Scott getting there in the timely fashion, did, you know, and he'd only been retired maybe 2 weeks.
I was just going to say, he just retired.
And, yeah, and it really said a lot that, you know, the cost of technology and equipment can be a lot of money, but that cost is nothing compared to a life, you know, especially, you know, a law enforcement officer's life that, you know, checks in at every shift, not knowing what's going to happen. And that would have crushed me if we'd have lost somebody, bottom line, and our community.
Yeah.
And thank God that didn't happen. But it's a, you know, just a harsh reminder of how dangerous this job is. And furthermore, you know, in the last month in central Wisconsin, this isn't the first one of these situations that's happened. Adams County had one where a vehicle pursuit was initiated, and then that suspect decided to shoot at law enforcement. And we went down to assist in that situation. And then a week or two later, Portage County has a similar situation where a suspect shot at a Sauk County deputy. Again, thank God, it was off a traffic stop. Thank God, missed him. Got out of the area, and then was held up in a residence over in the Amherst area. And then a long standoff ensued. And we, again, went over there to help, because that's, again, that partnership that we all have within, not just in central Wisconsin, but anywhere in the state when another agency asks for help. But here are three similar situations where, you know, you have people, criminals, you know, taking it upon themselves to shoot at law enforcement. And I've never had that in my career, you know, in a short time frame like that. And now, you know, we're talking central Wisconsin. These are people that are making the decision that they want to kill a cop. And that's hard. You know, I've been to some cops' funerals, some very close to me, and that really breaks you. It breaks the spirit of any law enforcement officer that puts the badge on and goes and checks on for duty, not knowing that they might not return. And then when they don't return, just look at the aftermath of that effect, not only the law enforcement agency that they work for or the entire team of law enforcement officers throughout not just the state but our country, but then look at the big impact, that family that isn't going to have a loved one come home because a criminal decided to take that officer's life, you know, and it's hard. Like I said, James, it's hard to talk about, but I think people should be aware of it because this is what we go through and it's happening here. We're going to do a press release today on Moyet and with, you know, some of the details that were not released and with his mugshot, because people should know what this individual looks like, mm-hmm. this criminal. You know, and just with the, you know, the reminder of, you know, what we go through. Mm-hmm. And, it's just, it's hard, but, you know, we talk about silver linings and, you know, you look at it, with Scott, you know, that, you know, showing that he didn't, you know, walk away from this career. You know, he's still part of it no matter 2 weeks retired or 10 years retired.
Yeah.
You're always part of the team that you dedicated, you know, your life to. He really stepped up and, again, saved lives.
Yeah.
Because Moyet was shooting directly at us, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, and then, you know, we always talk about the aftermath. Okay, physically, we're all okay. Everybody that was part of this situation, we're all okay, you know. But as we always brought up our wellness and our mental health as law enforcement officers, that's where it hurts me, because I have to look at it. You know, I'm not in the thick of it where, you know, I'm not on the SWAT team or the special response team right there. You know, I was blocks away. And that, it's like, I want to be there, but that's not my role at that time. But, you know, just thinking of what we just talked about, you know, and how it would crush, you know, any administrator on losing one of their own, or somebody, you know, close by, a neighboring agency, whether it's Wisconsin Rapids PD or Portage County or Grand Rapids Police Department, you know, a smaller agency with somebody that had just started his career.
Yeah.
You know, and just thinking of the, you know, the reality of the situation and what could have happened. And, you know, our wellness now, mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, we were shot at, and even as an individual officer, you know that you were shot at with somebody intending on killing you because you wear a badge. There's nothing else that this person didn't know any of us personally.
Yeah.
His issue is us because we're cops. Yeah. That's the issue, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, again, that really harsh reality of... you know, how dangerous this job can be no matter where you work.
Appreciate the details. Appreciate this press release that will be released. Keeping the community informed, it certainly helps a lot. And to your point, creates empathy, I believe, in this topic and for our officers. It's something that it affects different areas differently. And something, a situation like this, as you mentioned, that is fluid, that is moving. I'm curious, as you and your team are trying to share information and trying to keep up with literally a moving situation, you're also trying to inform the community and give them a heads up or you know, how I don't know if warning is right word, but something like that. How do you manage both of those things?
It was hard because, you know, once we, you know, I got to give out, you know, the other... teammates, I call them, because they're department heads at the Sheriff's Department. You know, we opened up our EOC at the courthouse, and Sarah Christensen came in, our emergency management director, and then our dispatch manager, Tony Bastine, both came in to get that operational, because then, you know, Assistant Police Chief Scott DeWitt and I were there. Okay, now we've got a scene that we're both helping them. We're working together to manage it, and it's still going on. You know, and so, you know, we get everything operating going, so we're hearing everything on the radio, and then we're talking. All right, we've got some containment here, you know, but we're going to have to, you know, get some public notification here. Here, you got a shooting like a half block off of A Street, you know, and we got to start letting people know, because, you know, what are we going to do if we can't find this suspect by the time, you know, it's 6 a.m. when A Street is packed? You know, how do we get, you know, and then we're brainstorming about, okay, you know, dispatch did an awesome job notifying people and, you know, in that close proximity of where we thought he was, but what's next? You know, what do we do next to get people notified of, and then other things that were coming in. So many people have Ring cameras, and that's awesome. Yeah. You know, and people were calling in and saying, hey, I had the suspect just walk by, you know, my front door in that area. You know, walking by, and you could see his gun. You know, and we're like, okay, and then they're sending us that information. We're sharing that with everybody, so we kind of know how close he is to us. You know, but the challenge with that can be, as the shooting went down, as the end of the situation went down, people were recording that, and they're putting it on social media, not sharing it with us. Yeah. They're getting that information out there. It was just a reminder of, you know, the life we live in with technology and how information it gets out there so fast. You know, again, thank God nobody got hurt, you know, no law enforcement got hurt, no civilians got hurt. And when somebody's, you know, shooting that many rounds out, we're lucky. We're very lucky with the situation. But, you know, working it with Scott, we worked very well together, you know, you know, trying to stay ahead of the, you know, as we could when the Rapids officer had shot the suspect, completely justified. All right, now how do we get him off the roof? Mm-hmm. You know, all right, calling the fire department, getting a ladder truck there, you know, and trying to jump ahead of it so we can keep managing the scene. Mm-hmm. And then still looking at, all right, now who is going to investigate this scene? You know, mm-hmm. and that's where, you know, the phone calls with the connection you have with the state. DCI supervising agent Shane Heiser, he's out of the Wausau office, great working relationship, you know, and got a hold of him right away, he explained the circumstances as it just ended, and he's like, okay, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And then the support from the state was phenomenal. By within, you know, a couple hours, you had, you know, DCI agents coming from all over the state to investigate it. And then, you know, going back to, you know, the media, not this, but the media that we collect as far as all the camera footage, you know, all the body camera footage, all the squad camera footage, all the different agencies that have all this footage, add the drone footage. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a couple people just, you know, right, putting a list together, saying, okay, what agencies were there? Who was there? Now, who do we contact to get the mm-hmm. footage? Because everything is all on video. And at some point, you know, that'll be public, especially mm-hmm. the drone footage. I want people to see it, just to see what we went through, and then show what tools that we do have that help make our job safer.
We have about a minute before we get to wrap up our first half hour with you, Sheriff Becker. And one thing that I think is really noteworthy about this as well, as we are looking for silver linings in these situations, certainly that our citizens, that our officers were safe from this, that it wasn't a worse situation. Mm-hmm. What you mentioned about Scott and the drones, I think that is another conversation we could have about yeah. the importance of having those in our offices and our departments, how much that could help everything from a missing senior to a missing child to a situation like this. But I hope, I really, really am hoping out there you guys are reading between the lines as well, and something that this man is too humble or too proud to, not too proud, too humble to mention, but the quickness, not only a reaction time of you and these fellow officers, but how quickly you have to go from, I'm trying to protect our community, I'm in an aggressive situation that I have to be aggressive for, and immediately flipping to, I'm trying to save a life. I'm trying to save the person that was just shooting at my people, my team. Mm-hmm. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Yeah. Like that's something that it doesn't take a badge to relate to. That's mm-hmm. something we can all relate to, and something that we should all be defending. We should all be fighting for, not just our officers. We need to have you guys' back in these situations. As quickly as we are as a society to jump down the throats of somebody, of an officer that does something wrong, mm-hmm. we need to be just as quick to pounce on these things of, hey, that's our people. That's our team. It's not just your team. That's our team too, and defend these situations. It calls on all of us as a community to do that. We'll have more with Sheriff Sean Becker when we come back here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.